Nana Pada Pa Girivada Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Pada Pa Girivada Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhagavate Vasudevaya Nam Namaskrit Today we're continuing. Aveshita Kotita Dhana. Ayo Pija Maya Veshit Kotita Dhana Ayo Pija Maya Veshit Kotita Dhana Ayo bijaya. Kalpate Arjita Kvat Higher. Kalpate. Patita. Anaha. Pains. Prayaha. Daya. Na ishyate. Not capable of causing desire of those who fix not lead to material. Just as barley corns burned by the sun and then no longer grow. The words maya veshita dhyam are very unless one has achieved an intense degree of devotion, one cannot fix the mind. Self-realization is not of desirelessness, but rather of purified desire, wherein one desires only the pleasure. The gopis were certainly attracted to Krishna in a mood of conjugal love, yet having fixed their minds and indeed on Krishna, their conjugal desire could never manifest as rather it became Sapta Kanchana desire of those who fix the does not lead to material. Barley corns burned by the sun and then cooked. So, just after the Lila. Saying that this type of comma, even though it looks like regular lust, which has the opposite effect, and it, in fact, he says it will never produce. Actually, this is a that absorption. Seeds out in the sun. Already there's no chance sprouting from them, but then as a security, then nice to hear about their exalted love, and I read this, my one first thing that came to mind. Bhaktim param bhagavan. By hearing about this, with the wives of Raj, by hearing about this Shradhanvito, faith. This bridges the gap a little bit. Question here as to this type of absorption. saying that actively this is the have this hridrogam. Nice to hear, and it's First Gita says in the second how it starts, what it turns actually the cure. Lust attached to something higher. Find out this trans. That up. Unless one is transcendent, possible by rules and something like restriction. Patient, however, neither likes such restriction. No longer has a taste for death. Therefore, restrict less intelligent neophyte. Actually, Krishna consciousness. He's specifically talking lesser fields of outrightly rejecting by prayers, because in the wired in the right way. Here, okay, you do this. Actually, for a practice, bound for some time. But the thing that kind of makes it a gray area. again comes back to I'd like to shed a little bit light on that, because Prabhupada's purport here is quite encouraging. Restrictions are there for the less. Actually has a taste. It's actually Krishna conscious. That's encouraging. Time, it makes one. What exactly does taste mean? Because if we gotten through the bulk that's quite that person walks into the say that because actually, according to our faith is based in actually everyone. Some degree or other. Taste starts. Now, he spoke in this work to really, really give all of his bhaktas. Lots of things that help to establish bhakti. He also spoke a lot of things to help people become concrete. Other paths that are there. So, Bhagavad Gita, he said, part of the mechanism of lust and exactly what a devotee will give some guiding words on how. Inspiring. So in the 20th chapter of the 11th canto, begins with next 27 and 20. Kata shraddha mat katasu nirvin. Vedadukatmakan kaman parityage pyanishwara tato bhajetamam prita shradalu sarkams chagadhayan. says, having developed faith in topics about me, jata shraddha man, faith in Krishna Kirtan, having this particular, states that it's at the beginning, talking about a ruchi bhakti, talking about somebody who, maybe he's been in a place that most of us, this is meant to inspire the general population. Jata shraddha mad katha, having developed faith in topics about me, and being disgusted with all karmas, he knows what's wrong. Nirvin, times in the Bhagavatam, out anymore when I try to start of a karma su. Devotee knows that all enjoyments are filled. But he is unable to give them Veda Dukatmakan Kama. Can't give it up. Parityage Pinish. Still, Krishna said, affection for me, Ma Alu Dhrida Nishcha, continue worshipping me. Same time, partaking of those. So, not only does it, this is the bad things he I don't want to do this. He's get the same concept here. But still, he, faith and determination, happily continues to what the problem. Oftentimes, we however long it may be, found something and okay, this is no longer that thing may come back. Actually, this is what Shaka represents. Back into one's life, particularly old material, back into a devotee's life. So, everybody goes through this. Tell one to take. Okay? I'm Anishwara. That's the description. It doesn't stop there. Krishna gives Proktena Bhakti Yogena Vajato masakrin mun kama hridaya nashyanti. Intelligent person engages constantly in worshiping as previously described. All material desires within the heart are nashyanti. I am situated. I have. By that process, I personally come. I'm there whenever some. I personally remove. I'm situated there, the sins cannot remain situated. Just as if the sun shines. So in the next verse. Ahankar itself is cut, and all doubts are destroyed. All of these things, all of these. And in the final verse, Tasman mad bhakti yuktasya yogino vai madatmana jnanam na chavaira chaya shreyo bhavet. Therefore, for a devotee engaged in bhakti, mad bhakti yuktasya, mind fixed on me, yoga, cultivation of knowledge. Elements and how they how bhakti works. That knowledge is bhakti. Technical knowledge. Exactly what one isn't. Vairagya that is a. Our acharyas, they quote another verse from the 11th. 11th canto is just. Practical advice on there, we're going to be. Add the paramparas. Luckily. We're not getting it. Age. Other verse that's in the 11th. Bhakti Paresh Anu. Padyamana Seyat. Ocean, direct experience of the Supreme. detachment from other things. Simultaneously, same way that pleasure, nourishment, simultaneously, our acharyas quote this verse, substantiate Krishna's word, that both jnana and vairagya are actually they affect everything else in the process. Absolutely everything touches. Nothing else becomes. You can experience this. As this verse says, this Bhakti Parishana Bhava Viraktir, it happens step by step. It's not that one day we wake up and, oh, I'm completely renounced. Everything is, I don't need anything. I only need Krishna. But it happens step by step. As we take steps forward, we slowly find that we're not as attracted to the world as I can speak for myself. 8 years ago, the world was quite an attractive place. I knew what I wanted to do and quite fun. But as I started reading, as I got attachment for the philosophy, as I became attached to chanting, when I moved into the temple, as things progressed, it's quite obvious that my taste for the material world has come down. Obviously, I still have a long way to go. And actually, when you start moving in that way, you start to get some grasp on how far it is you actually have to go. So that in itself is scary. But we can see that progress is there. Bite after bite, bite after bite. Just like when we eat. When you eat, three things happen. Dushti, pushti, shudapayo. First, you become satisfied. Second, hunger starts to go away. And third, you're nourished. Things happen. And the analogy there is that when we do bhakti, we experience the Lord, we become detached, and we develop devotion. So as we do this, as we dive deep into the inner part of the process of bhakti, we dive deep into hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna, then these things, they go away. Now I have one other thing that I'd like to share. It's a bit of a secret, because this has already been quite a nice point. But our acharyas, they've turned something a little more. They've given us a little gem in relation to this particular verse. So I already explained how, and the Bhagavatam is explaining, this particular verse and the analogy that's given with a seed, which isn't able to grow anymore because it's been both roasted in the sun and cooked on the fire, cooked in ghee. But Sanatana Goswami, he reveals something that is really, really amazing in relation to this, that it harmonizes something that I've heard from Srila Prabhupada and I've been trying to wrap my mind around since I read it nearly 5 years ago. But this finally puts the nail in the coffin with a Bhagavatam verse, such as the expertise of our acharyas, such as the expertise of Sanatana Goswami. So in regards to this verse, he explains this process that one's material desires are eliminated. But he takes a step further. He goes beyond the analogy, and he quotes something from the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. Now, this is 5.19.27, and context, but this is the context that Sanatana Goswami is quoting it in. So the translation is, "The Lord certainly gives desired objects to devotees who request them, but he does not give those objects in such a way that the devotees will ask again after finishing his enjoyment. In other words, he gives his lotus feet, which include all desirables, to those worshippers who do not even desire them." Now that is a strong statement by the Bhagavatam. Because what Sanatana Goswami is pointing out here, he's saying that not only is it that the material desires that you have will eventually become burned up, and it's just that it's just kind of, you're just waiting for it to kind of kick out. It's the process is really over, but we're just kind of waiting for residuals to go away. But he's saying even if you do try, once you start the practice of bhakti, even if you get a little gumption and you think, no, I'm going to go enjoy, there's still some time. My life can still work out that way. I can go have fun. I can do the things I wanted to do before, or whatever new thing I've discovered I want to do. Even if one tries to do that, these are the words of Krishna. He's saying that if my devotees, they still have desires, then I'll give them what they ask for. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also echoes this in the CC. He says, I'll give them what they ask for. No problem. I fulfill all desires. But I'll give it to them in such a way that they don't want it anymore. It's a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing for one to swallow. But the beauty of it is in the second half of the verse. In other words, Krishna gives his lotus feet, which include all desirables, to those worshippers who do not even desire them. Anichatam. They don't even want them. They're devotees, but they're captivated by some material thing at this particular point. They don't even want Krishna's feet. And Krishna steps in and he says, no. We'll finish that. It's not going to work like that. And then he gives his feet anyways. Now, the statement by Srila Prabhupada that I was talking about is in the Nectar of Instruction. It's in verse 3. And Prabhupada says, devotional service is so pure and perfect that once having begun, one is forcibly dragged to ultimate success. I could never understand this. I could never understand this because it goes against everything that I heard practically about one having to cultivate a desire and not being able to go towards Krishna consciousness unless one actually is Krishna conscious. We hear so many things. You can, if you chant Nama Aparad, if you chant Nama Bas, then you can only go so far. But in order to go to Goloka Vrindavan, in order to go to the Prayojan, in order to develop prema, we hear that it requires a lot of willingness, one's own free will, and one developing love for Krishna. So I could never really understand, why did Prabhupada write like this? He said, one is forcibly dragged to ultimate success. It goes against the grain of practically everything that I heard. But here it is. The deeper understanding is that once starting, yes, you have to develop attachment and you have to develop rag and you have to develop all of the proper things in order to actually go. But the point is if we don't walk in that direction, then Krishna is going to make it hard for us until we get exhausted and start walking in that direction. That he'll give us and he'll allow us to play around in whatever it is we think is nice or, you know, worthy of our time for the particular period, but he'll always leave us unsatisfied by that thing. Whereas a materialist, if they're out there, if they haven't started bhakti, they may get, you see some people, they end up with a good life, 30, 40, 50 years, a good run, happy times. When I was running around music festivals, I met many old people that said, you know, man, at the end of the day, it was a fun run. I had a great life. I'm still having a great life. Things are going well. You meet people like this. It's not that material life is always doom and gloom and everybody is depressed. It's not like that, if we're honest. I've met happy, complacent people there. But Krishna, he doesn't allow that to happen to his devotees. That's a great, great blessing. If we're not interested in absorption, Krishna doesn't let us get absorbed in anything else. If we're not interested in being absorbed in Krishna, he makes it so... He will make it. He's saying here in the Bhagavatam, I'll make it frustrating for them. I'll give them exactly what they asked for in such a way that they wish they never had it. This is what Krishna does. So those are some thoughts. I'm sorry if it was a little jumbled. I had a couple hours this morning together. If there are any faults, then please, you're all learned Vaishnavas, correct. And does something nice. It's not mine, it's my guru's. Sure. If there are any questions, comments, or corrections.
Any Thank you, Yola. I was going to ask a question, but I think you addressed it in this last point of, you know, Prabhupada mentioned that one is forcibly dragged for success. Also, reading the commentary of Srila Sanatana Goswami. But I was thinking, you know, that although the verses that you read from the Uddhava Gita, that is very encouraging, and, you know, wonderfully applicable to us, or to many of us. And I was just thinking that, well, it's very encouraging, but, you know, sometimes we have seen it in others, and we also experience it sometimes in ourselves, that it's not as simple as that, you know, it's like things don't go away, and it doesn't look like it's going to go away. And this in very, very strong material conditioning that is there. And then there is elements of offenses to Krishna, offenses to the holy name, offenses to devotees. You know, so there is these offenses that one does in the process of doing service, and that comes from not having all this material conditioning that leads to these offenses. And when offenses comes into play, then that derails the thing. And what to speak if one commits, you know, the mad elephant offense, you know, the pure devotee, the intimate devotees of the Lord. Then it may seem that according to what you hear, you know, it's finished. And sometimes you see it with devotees, you know, it's what happened, you know, it's all gone. So it's not, the words are very encouraging. The message is very encouraging. You have seen examples of that encouraging conclusion of a devotee life. We're seeing it. But you also see the other side that, you know, it's not a clear thing. It may, you know, it may take lifetimes, it may take this life, you know, we don't know. So I think Jai Baladev quoted the other day Mukunda Datta, you know, million life you will come to, you know, join me again, Lord Chaitanya.
Oh, great.
He was, you know, like, yeah. But that's not the case. I won't feel like that, you know. Yeah. Then I'm like, you know, I'm hoping that in this lifetime, but, you know, so you can comment on that.
Well, I can think of one thing, and especially because you mentioned offenses, very interesting thing for me in this regard is that Krishna puts the impetus on one having faith and saying, okay, I can't control any of these things. So that's the implication there, that yes, one is in a situation where it feels like you said, this is not going to go away. This is very difficult and it's very heavy and it's not something I have any control over. And I'm not seeing that, all right, we're on the cusp of it disappearing. I'm in the thick of it. That's the implication of Krishna's words here. And he puts the impetus, or he puts emphasis on the fact that because of that situation, the devotee, he decides that I'm going to exercise the only power that I have, and I'm going to invest myself fully in Krishna bhajan. And in regards to offenses, something that I can think of is that actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur and our acharyas, they explain that these offenses, they come from a root. And that root is inattention. And inattention means that one is not fixed. So inattention means one hasn't come to that point of deciding that I'm going to do Krishna bhajan. That's what the purpose of my life is going to be. That's the use of my life. There's no other purpose for it. And until one finds that ekatva, that oneness in purpose, which it doesn't manifest in somebody becoming a bhajananandi, it doesn't mean go in your room and chant 100 rounds a day, but it means the internal cultivation is that I really feel that the only purpose to my life is that I want to serve Krishna and I want to serve Krishna's devotees. When one comes to that, then I think that's when this thing that Krishna is explaining in the Uddhava Gita really takes place. And I think that's a place that every sadhaka eventually has to come to, and that's what takes 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 30 lifetimes, like you said, is actually coming to that. But the encouraging point is that it doesn't have to. It's not incumbent on one having any other qualifications other than that determination that Krishna is the only purpose of my life, which comes from reading about Krishna and hearing about Krishna from devotees that are in touch with Krishna to some degree or other. So I think there, it's very important that we really think about what this means. It's very applicable to our lives. As far as seeing in the lives of others, yes, it's hard to judge because we can't know if something is going on in someone's life, something catastrophic is happening to them because Krishna is trying to bring them closer, or because they're so bogged down in this kind of mire of complacency and they're not, they haven't, you know, I'm sure I've experienced at one point in my devotional life, I can honestly say I would positively think about Krishna maybe once in a month. Tough, and it was just a difficult period. So if somebody's in that, you know, Krishna is just sending them a bunch of things to say, wake up, you got to get your act together. But then he may also be giving somebody else some hardship because they're very fixed and he's just taking them to the next level. So with someone else, we can't know that. So it's hard to judge. But with our own life, we can really focus on these words, and because also internally, the struggles we go through, nobody aside from Krishna, nobody besides us has as intimate a view of the struggle as we do. And so that gives us an opportunity. Every person, if they're not a liberated soul, they know that this is my problem and I'm really suffering from it. And most people have the conviction that they'll never get over it. But if we really meditate on these words of Krishna in the Uddhava Gita, he's telling us that actually bhakti is the way. No matter what the problem is, blanket statement. No matter what the problem is. And even he says, even if you still do it, do bhajan. He says, don't worry, okay, you're too fallen, you can't not do the thing. Do the thing, but do bhajan also with a desire to stop doing the thing in the future. And we're reminded of Prabhupada saying, okay, you can't stop drinking wine. You've come here, this man would come to the Sunday feast over and over and over, and Prabhupada would be there. This man was lucky enough to speak to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was there. And Prabhupada heard him for the umpteenth time say, you know, I can't stop drinking. You know, I'd love to be a devotee, I love your philosophy, but I'm attached to my alcohol. And Prabhupada said, is the taste of the wine. He said, somehow or other think of Krishna, do bhajan, do your thing, whatever it is. We don't make this an across the board statement on the GBC website and post that now there are no regulative principles. But these are Krishna's words in the Uddhava Gita. He says that my devotee is doing some terrible thing and he knows he can't get over it, he's condemning it. He can't fix it, but he wants to. So we have to find that sincerity in ourselves with whatever these individual, intimate problems are, that we feel this is never going to go away. And we have to say, okay, Krishna knows about it, I know about it, but I'm going to do bhajan, and I have faith that it will go away. So that's my kind of reflection on that. And the bit with the offenses and the holy name, they all come from pramada, they all come from this inattention, which means the dhridanishchaya. This determination, it hasn't yet taken birth. Because if you're fixed, then there won't be offenses. It's quite, if you're fixed, then you'll know the devotees are more dear to Krishna than Krishna. So even, you know, little Bhakta Jack, sorry, not Jack, I'm trying to use an anonymous name, Bhakta Joe, you know, even he comes in and he's mean to people and all this, we understand it, we respect him because he's very dear to Krishna because he started chanting his name. The mad elephant offense won't be there these days. But if that hasn't taken birth, we have to meditate on why am I complacent? Why am I not at that point of realizing that I'm losing this battle? And the only way to win it is to really take shelter. If there's anything else?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. You made a lot of wonderful points, including your last answer there. I really appreciate that Krishna could be orchestrating things or it can be from offenses we don't know, so I really appreciate that point. Your class reminded me of some very profound lessons I've learned from Jitendra Prabhu. And who's more to learn? Somebody's been here for 45 years. You know, to maintain our peace of mind, that's difficult, but just to stick around Krishna conscious somehow or other, despite, like you were mentioning, that verse from the Uddhava Gita, still, Krishna gives us some encouraging words, still people leave. Here's some encouraging words. Yeah, but I gotta go. But still, somehow or other, so maybe you'll appreciate some of these lessons that I learned from Jitendra. You reminded me of these classes. You were mentioning we should cultivate bhakti, knowledge of bhakti, and we see that anyone can be devotional when things and circumstances are proper, are according to their liking, but how to maintain our devotion. And so this is the lesson I learned from Jitendra. One thing I appreciate, I actually criticized him at first, long story short, somebody mistreated him or there was some transaction, some difficult argument between him and one other person. And so Jitendra, I was kind of criticizing him at first. He became so furious that in his rage, he said, "I'm never talking to you again." I was like, wow.
Is that how Jitendra talks in his rage? He gets all like so then, mouse?
Absolutely. So then less than a week later, he's sitting here talking and laughing with this person. So I was confused. So then I told Jitendra, I'm like, "You're a hypocrite." What is a hypocrite? One who says something and does something else. He said he's never talking to him again. And then what did he do? He talked to him again. On the flip side of the coin, you were mentioning we're so infested with an ocean of inertness that we may speak about bhakti, we may speak about tolerance, gratitude, but when our tolerance and gratitude is tested, we do the complete opposite. So my question is, we see the tolerance of Prahlad. He was thrown off a mountain, put in fire. He could tolerate. When things don't go our way, what do? We complain. So my question is that, what is the deciding factor as far as maintaining just being in Krishna consciousness like Jitendra somehow or other? What is the deciding factor of going from theoretical information to practical transformation? How to transform our pride into humility, etc. So what is the deciding factor? Why do some people stick around and some don't? How do we go from that information to that transformation?
People leave because they focus on the, as you said, the infestation of anartas of other people. So if we don't think of other devotees and all of their anartas and we focus on our own, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta has told us, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told us, then I think we'll be able to stick around. But if we focus on the nasty, horrible infestation in the other devotee's heart, which we actually don't know, we have no experience of that whatsoever. We see the external manifestation of it, but we don't know it. If we focus on that, then we're going to make offenses because they're still devotees, and anartha nivritti is expected. It's expected that somebody who takes up the path of bhakti is going to become the worst version of themselves before they become the best version of themselves. That's what anartha nivritti is, the realization that I'm a terrible person, and the experience of things that one may not have even experienced before they were a devotee, because you're uncovering millions, unlimited lifetimes of trash. So we have to understand that the devotees are dear to Krishna, and they don't have to be pukka on the outside to be dear to Krishna. If we understand that, and if we think about the devotees like that, then we're safe. We think, oh, you're like this, you're like that, you're terrible, you know, then we're going to find ourselves living away from all the devotees and thinking, yeah, I like Krishna consciousness, but the people that practice it, they're not good and they're hypocritical and they don't stand up for their principles and they're like this. No, as devotees, we have to understand that it's a different thing. It's a totally different thing. Jitendra Prabhu?
Umapati Swami said that to Srila Prabhupada to some degree. He said, you know, I like the philosophy, I like the chanting, but some of these people are really hard to be around.
You can imagine. It was in the beginning on 26 Second Avenue.
Yeah. And then I remember Jackie Gleason and the Honeymooners with Ed Norton. I don't know if you ever watched that program from the 1950s. Ed Norton was the guy that worked in the sewer, and he was always doing stupid stuff. And Jackie Gleason was driving a bus, and he'd always get pissed off at his wife, and he'd say, "Alice to the moon." I don't know if you ever watched the program. It was really funny.
I heard the and phrase when I saw the show.
And then he said about Norton, he was always doing dumb stuff. And he said, "What I think about Norton and what I feel about him are two different things." So I was thinking, you know, when we were debating on, you know, coming and going, you know, Prabhupada said most people will leave, but then, you know, what are your options? What is really out there? But he also said there was some devotees that were put down by the devotees, and one devotee was taking money, and they told Srila Prabhupada he's been taking money from the treasury, you know. Mm. And the devotees were condemning him, and then Prabhupada retorted back, and he says, "Oh, he earned it." So that just kind of totally blew devotees' minds. I don't know if you ever heard that story.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Prabhupada encourages us to analyze the trap of Maya, you know, and you know, see how things are actually taking place, and how we can scrutinizely understand Maya's potency, and then we can come to the realization, you know. But we have to understand how it's acting. So does that kind of help?
Yeah, thank you.
You know, I'm a few other things, but my mind's not so clear right now. But anyways, maybe I'll bring it up some other time, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Kishore Kishore ki jai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadramarani ki jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shri the Prabhupada ki jai, Vaishnava Bhakta Vrinda.